Next item on the agenda is public comment. This is an opportunity for those individuals in the audience who'd like to speak on matters not on the agenda. I see that I have a letter here pertaining to flute quota. But first, anyone here would like to speak? Come forward, sir. Good afternoon, kind sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowman, members of the commission. My name is Ellis James, and I am a resident of Norfolk and a Sierra Club observer, as you well know. I would like to call something to your attention, and especially since my friend Mr. Robbins is back. I didn't get a chance to impress upon him previously my concerns about the ships in the Chesapeake Bay near Lynn Haven Inlet, but he's very much aware of what the situation is.
Yes, sir.
I would like to call something to the commission's attention. The tragedy in Japan, we all know about. There is a part of this tragedy which could very easily impact us with respect to the split in the jet stream, which is now carrying a lot of the nuclear danger from east to west and west to east now, because the wind has flipped near the Kurashima nuclear plant that's in so much trouble. And so while our attention is focused on that, it would be very easy to lose track of the issue that really concerns me. The Japanese lost approximately 6,000 fishing ships. They lost a number of fishing villages. And so what we have on our hands now is a question of watching closely what develops from that loss. My research shows that they lost not only some of their fisheries, but they also lost a lot of their aquaculture. And so that is something that we are now beginning to move into here in the mid-Atlantic. And so I would hope that the staff will be able to at least, I know they're busy, and I know you've got lots of things on your plate, but I would like to be sure that we are aware of what those developments show over there. We may be able to learn some things from their tragedy, but at the same time, there may be things that down the road will benefit us that we could be aware of. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Who's next? Mr. Amory? Good to see you, sir.
Gotcha.
Charles Amory from Amory Seafood in Hampton. Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Yes, sir.
I put a letter up there right when y'all went to lunch that we have some changes this year in the time that we can unload the fishing boats, and it's created kind of a problem. We operated last year under the old rule of 6 o'clock, but if you had started unloading the boat prior to that, you could finish it, even if it took to 8 or 8:30 or 9 o'clock. This year, we've got a situation where we can not continue the boat. In other words, we're supposed to, if we've got a bin of fish that's halfway out of the boat and they're laying in the floor, you can't get them out. You got to leave them in there until the next day. That's created kind of a problem for us. And we kind of ask that you would correct that situation from last year to this year. If you can go to 7 o'clock, that's fine. If that creates a problem, we can still live with the 6 o'clock rule. But the main thing is, once you start the boat and it's legal, that you could be able to finish it.
Well, I thought we had gone, I know we've been negotiating a little bit with this. Was it 6 o'clock, nothing beyond 6? And then we went, well, let's go to 6:30. And then what we were concerned with, of course, was the cutoff time. The question came up, how long would it take to offload the flounder boat? And I thought, Jack, we had heard that it was 8:30, 9 o'clock at the very latest. What's
if they only bring in the quota of 100 boxes, then most any packing place should be able to get 50 boxes in an hour.
Right.
So 2 hours from the time you start, you ought to be able to finish it. one of the things that's created a little bit of the problem this year is the fact that we are packing some of the North Carolina quota.
We do every transfer, believe me.
So instead of packing 100 boxes, in most cases we're packing 200 or very close to it. And that's because of the situation at Oregon Inlet, where they can't get in down there.
Well, I guess what I thought it was a compromise that we had gone from 8:30 to 9, and 9 would be okay with industry. And now I see the letter.
We wanted the impression that
having an absolute cutoff time is difficult. We feel that a 9 p.m. limit might work. How about a 9 p.m. limit?
That'd be fine. I mean, and I haven't talked to any of your law enforcement people.
I've talked to Chief Lauderman, and he's understand. Chief, nothing has changed since last time. I think I saw him back there.
No, sir,
everything's still
no objection.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. Did you have anything?
Just a little bit of additional information for you.
Charlie, you can hang right here in case something else comes up real fast.
This month alone, there have been over 100 North Carolina boats landing flounder here.
I know. I signed a document this morning.
Quota. So that, I mean, there's a lot of flounder coming into port, and the businesses just need the time to offload them and do what they need to do.
Okay.
The current cutoff time is 6 p.m. You cannot offload a boat after 6 p.m. It used to be 10 p.m. Back in 2008, that was changed to 6 because we were short on law enforcement personnel. But again, as the colonel said, they don't object to changing that time. And I think the easiest way to do it in regulation is simply establish a new cutoff time of 9 p.m. Let's not worry about if a boat is being offloaded prior to some time it can finish. If it's, you know, it gets confusing there because an officer may not be there to know when it was started being offloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just set a time after which you cannot offload whether you've started it or not, and set that at 9 p.m. And I think that'll take care of.
All right, so to do that, we would have to do it. As you well know, I'm not a fan of emergency regulations, but in this situation, considering especially what's going on with Carolina, that we didn't have room to anticipate the Oregon Inlet being shut down and problems and things like that, I think from an economic perspective, and this not only benefits us, it benefits the state of North Carolina, who can't take these vessels. So it's not like, you know, we're necessarily totally benefiting from a problem that they've got down there. So what we would do is need to adopt an emergency regulation today and then advertise for the correction of the permanent regulation with a public hearing next month's meeting, correct?
And you would just be changing in the flounder regulation 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Matters before the commission. Mr. Tanker?
Move to adopt emergency regulation that would allow us to increase the time from 6 to 9 p.m., the work limit. And advertise for a public hearing for the next month's meeting.
Excuse me. Second to the motion?
Second it.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion?
That's the question I had. That was, so we're moving up the start time. There is no deadline, as far as completion time, if they start before 9 p.m. under this regulation. Am I wrong?
Jack, they have to be completed by 9 p.m.
Completed by 9.
So it's completed by 9, but still a start time by 6?
No, it doesn't matter.
They
just got to
okay.
be finished up right. by 9 o'clock because right. we don't want these things happening in the middle of the night. If they whatever they want to do, you know, that's right up to that, through there. But if we are down there and after 9 o'clock, we've got activity, that's the easiest way to enforce it.
All right.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a business relationship with one of the requesters, so I won't be voting on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
One abstention. Thank you very much. Mr. Amory, thank you. Unless you're still here. But anyway.